Abigail Copeland, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Hi.
Now, hobby-driven passions often lead to professions. In your case, it's the other way around, and it all started at Deer Park Irish Pub. Real briefly, how did you get bit by the brewski bug?
The brewski bug bit me. That's hard to say. I was bitten by that bug probably just a few months into working at Deer Park. I knew nothing about beer. I knew Coors Light. I knew Blue Moon. That's as far as it went. And it was just something in the motivation from Tony, really, my boss. He just inspired me to try to learn as much as I could. And the more I learned, the more I wanted to know.
So in your case, what did becoming a craft beer specialist, because I know that's what you have become, what did it entail?
I didn't know exactly what it entailed when I started embarking on that journey. But I believe that a craft beer specialist entails knowing your products, not only the products that you're selling or supporting, and not just their labels, but knowing how they're made, but also what kind of equipment do you need to make them? What kind of equipment do you need to pour them? I think draft tech is really important, knowing and operating draft equipment, cleaning draft equipment, maintaining, troubleshooting problems. That makes a great craft beer specialist. That needs to be on the list. Lots of different aspects.
It's also a relatively new sensation, the whole craft beer movement, and it seems like, I mean, in the last 4 years that you have been in your position at Deer Park, that's about the real huge trending of craft beer. Is it something that's just taking the world by storm?
Absolutely. It's gotten bigger. Every year it gets bigger. When I first started, I didn't know much about craft beer, but that doesn't mean that the passion wasn't already there. You know, it had obviously been started. But I will say that I notice more and more people, especially middle-aged, like folks that weren't really into it before, especially if they have the means to afford craft beer, it's kind of expensive. I mean, some craft beers, I can sell a beer for sometimes $8, $9, $15 a bottle even, depending on the style and the quality. So it's an expensive hobby for making, and it's an expensive hobby for drinking. And it's just absolutely exploded with people everywhere, mostly because of the diversity of products.
That makes sense. And certainly beer drinking's an age-old passion.
Right.
So now there's the more the merrier.
Right. Like. And there's something for everyone.
That's another good point. When in your learning curve, or maybe I should say passion curve, did you know that you just had to brew beer as well as to know all about it?
Oh, it happened fast. Shortly into working at Deer Park, I think maybe I'd been there for a year, I knew a lot about beer. I learned fast. Somewhere along the line, I knew that in order to educate my customers about products and talk to them and get them as passionate as I was, I needed to do it. And I didn't just want to do a kit or watch it being done. I wanted to do it myself. I'm a hands-on learner. So I had a regular customer that became a very good friend, and I one day asked him if he'd be willing to teach me, and he was. And he said, you know, pick a recipe, pick something you want to try. What would sound good to you? And I thought of what I had in my garden at the time. And we thought, well, what about a white, like a wheat IPA, and do that with coriander and see what we get. And we did. And it was awesome. It was delicious. But we did all grain brewing. We didn't use a kit. So it was all from scratch.
And that just clinched the deal, so to speak, for you.
Oh, once I did that first beer, I was hooked. Absolutely hooked.
Good for you. Now, on the job, you have great people skills and great beer knowledge. How often do you get a chance to share it?
Every day, every minute, every day. Even when I'm not there, I'm sharing my beer knowledge, probably more than I should be. But everyone that comes in, whether they're a novice and they know nothing about beer, or whether they're an expert and they know more than I do, it's the type of hobby that you just want to talk about and discuss, because the beer world is ever changing. New things are being thought of. So people are brewing beer with tea, they're brewing beer with fruit, you know, nuts and different things all the time. So there's always something to say. And people ask questions, or I'll spark the conversation, and it always goes somewhere fun every time.
It certainly sounds like, and it's all part of your taking care of business. That's
right.
Pretty perfect. It seems like there's so much pertinent, specific vocabulary. Beer can be a second language if somebody's really into it. What's most important to remember, just real basics about drinking and enjoying beer?
There are basically two kinds of beer. There are ales and there are lagers. The difference between an ale and a lager is very simple. They're two different kinds of yeast. Ales are fermented at higher temperatures. Lagers are fermented at lower temperatures. And that's the difference. So everything outside of that is just a subcategory of an ale or a lager. And the more different types of beer you try, it inspires your own language. You develop a whole new way of articulating the flavors that you're enjoying, and you're writing your own language as you're enjoying it.
I see. Most interesting. Okay. Besides a conventional degree in interpersonal communications, you have graduated from draft tech school at Miller's Coors University and Sierra Nevada's Beer Camp. You were first level Cicerone certified.
Mm-hmm.
You write for Indiana on Tap. You frequently lecture on the job. How do these continuing ed situations hone your skills and carry your passion forward?
Well, the best way to learn is to teach. So I think the more I educate myself, people will ask, well, what did you learn at draft tech school? Well, let me tell you. And then as I tell them, then I'm learning things and it's all coming back to me. So it's just a never-ending cycle. But I will say, I never turn down an opportunity. So if somebody says, do you want to come brew this? Do you want to learn that? Would you like to clean out this fermentation tank? I say yes, even if I don't really want to. I always say yes, because there's something to learn.
Wonderful point and wonderful spirit, too. It will take you far, no doubt. What's it like having a mentor as passionate and sweet as Tony Henry?
Oh my gosh. He is the most encouraging person I have ever met in my life. So working for him gives me constant motivation, inspiration, and he invests in me and in all of his staff members. He invests his time, he invests his knowledge. What it's like working for Tony is extremely rewarding every day.
And in fact, the two of you began your brewing journey together. So
yes.
How was that?
Being able to go to Sierra Nevada together was our first trip. And it was so much fun. And we both were blown away. It was almost too much knowledge. He's turning to me every minute. Did you write that down? Did you take a picture? Did you cover it? But it was exciting and something we'll never forget. We brewed an India Pale Lager. And what better place to do an IPA or an IPL than Sierra Nevada. They have some of the best hops that you can get. So we did that, and it turned out fabulously. I can't say enough about it. It was fantastic.
So for all of the beer drinking hobbyists out there, besides do it responsibly, what advice do you have?
For beer drinking hobbyists, my best piece of advice is not to sell anyone short. Any type of beer, any type of brewer, everyone has something to offer to the game, and there's so much to be enjoyed, and there's so much room for all of us. There's nothing worse than the beer drinker who puts down another beer drinker for the type of beer they drink. We taste things differently. Just enjoy it, and you know, be critical of your beer, the quality, the consistency, but keep an open mind. Some styles would very much surprise you.
Great advice, and I appreciate that on behalf of beer drinkers everywhere. And since you enjoy sharing your brewing love, what are the most valuable secrets you can share with would-be hobbyists?
For brewing, you need to have very clean equipment. That is the most important part. Sanitation is key. You're kind of a glorified janitor when you're brewing. That's not something quick. Like, you need to really put a lot of time and a lot of effort into sanitizing your equipment, or it's going to ruin your entire batch. And it's happened to many, many brewers. It's happened to me. So I would say, if you're going to put a lot of time into deciding on a recipe for your beer or what you're going to put into it or all these other creativity pieces, put three times that amount of time into preparing your equipment and knowing your steps, because it will save you money.
There's no doubt that homebrewing is a wonderful and exciting hobby to pursue. Need it be expensive, at least at the beginning of things?
I don't think homebrewing is that much more expensive than any other type of hobby. If you're knitting, you have to buy yarn, you have to buy good equipment or not so good equipment. It doesn't really matter. You can do it less expensively. It is important to buy, I think, quality ingredients. I would not recommend using extracts and things if you can help it, because what I've seen, or what I've tasted, I should say, is kind of a chemical-y taste in those kinds of things. So even though it might be cheaper to buy the extract, you know, it's all about the effort. The more effort you put in, the better it's going to taste. If you can afford to drink beer, you can afford to make your own.
Abigail Copen is buyer and manager for Deer Park Irish Pub and an avid homebrewing hobbyist. Abigail, thank you for fitting us into your busy workday. And here's to beers.
Yes, absolutely. Cheers, Julia.